Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome back to Your Family Dog. Julie told me just before we started recording that she had an interesting experience today with a client whose dog is pulling all the fluff off of tennis balls, and they had quite the conversation about it. And I said, no, don't tell me. Let's hit record. So here we go. Julie, tell us what's up.
Well, this morning I have an adorable little mixed breed something or the other who has a gorgeous brindle coat. His name's Dexter, and he's going to be 5 months old tomorrow. And he's just adorable. And we were working this morning, and she goes, Dexter, would you get a tennis ball fuzz in your mouth? And he opens his mouth, and she pulls out some fuzz. And we're going along, and then pretty soon she looks, and there's fuzz caught between his teeth. And I said,
He needs to floss?
He needs to floss. Or apparently the floss got caught in the teeth. If he's using his tennis ball to floss his teeth. But what she said, I said, you know, some dogs, when they don't really play with tennis balls, they tend to choose the fuzz off of them. And I said, you need to be careful of that because you don't want them to swallow it, nor do you want them to aspirate it, which can be a problem. So I said, what I thought you probably needed to do was not use tennis balls with him, but use hard rubber balls or plastic balls or something other than a tennis ball so that you don't risk your dog inhaling or eating any of that tennis ball fuzz. I can't imagine that tennis ball fuzz in your lungs is going to do you any good. And if it goes in your tummy, we might just be going to bring that right back up. So, or it might go out the other end, probably won't hurt it, but no need to actually eat the fuzz off the tennis ball. So that brings me to, I did a blog a few weeks ago about toys for tough chewers is what it's called. And it was really interesting because just the day before I went into this particular pet store here in Granville, another friend of mine said, look at this, Julie, look. And she holds up this toy and it's been destroyed. The squeaker's been removed and the fluff is all out. And there's her dog, Jersey, who's a little Staffordshire Terrier. She's sitting there going, look what I did. I'm so excited. Look, I destroyed it. It's dead. And she said, this was supposed to be, I spent a lot of money on this toy and it's supposed to be indestructible. And less than five minutes. And she's shaking this toy and I'm like, got it. I hear this a lot. I don't know what to tell you other than I'm really, really sorry. But, you know, at least it's dead and it's not going to squeak at you anymore. And,
you know, I'm sure she was relieved to hear that.
Yes. So I get this. So anyway, so the next day I happen to be in at the Village Pet Mart, which is a little pet store that's I can walk to it. Of course, you can walk to most anything in Granville. But anyway, it's like, you know, a half a mile from my house. I was in there, I think, getting something, probably food or something. Anyway, I looked over and there was a display for Planet Dog. And there's this great ball on a string. And I said, does it float? And she said, I don't know. Let's find out. So I called Planet Dog right then and there and said, look, have this toy. It's a fetch ball. It says fetch on it. It's got a rope. Does it float? Because Zuzu needs a new ball that I can throw into the lake. And I'm not buying one that sinks, right? And they said, oh, yes, all of our balls float. And I'm reading the tag and it says guaranteed, like indestructible. So I said, great. So I bought it. Haven't used it yet because we haven't been out to the lake yet when it hasn't been frozen. So anyway, we're going to do that soon.
And she said, I do like Planet Dog balls. I haven't had one on a rope, but some of my favorite balls have been Planet Dog because I like that they're sort of squishable, but they're not really chew. I haven't had a dog who's chewed
right,
it.
Right.
But can kind of crunch on it because there's a pliability to the plastic.
There is. And they're also smart because it has two holes. Most balls have two holes, one on each end, which is really important because you don't want a ball or a Kong-like toy or anything that has simply one hole because if the dog's tongue gets in there and can create suction and then the tongue gets stuck and it's not a happy scenario after that. So you always want to have two holes in order for the suction to not be the point where the dog can't get his tongue out of the toy. But then you can also put food in it. So, you know, you can roll around and bounce. And so that's really fun, too, because I've had a couple of those. And they come in a lot of different sizes. Mm-hmm. So I said, how interesting. I said this has a, according to the packaging, is a 5 of 5 on the chew-o-meter. Okay, so supposedly pretty indestructible. So I asked the lovely woman who was helping me. She said, well, we have two other toys, groups of toys, that we are apparently quite indestructible, very tough for tough chewers. And she was saying the reason she recommends them is because the owner of the Village Pet Mart, her husband is a veterinarian, and his veterinary practice is right next door to the store. And all his vet techs apparently have pit bulls. They all have pit bull terriers. And there's one toy called the Play Strong by Spot. It's a 12-inch bowl. And a bowl. What is wrong with me today? It is a 12-inch bone, bright red, fire engine red, and apparently cannot be destroyed by a pit bull terrier. So that's one that they highly recommend. And it's an S shape, so it's kind of fun. So it's great for tug. But it also comes in shorter sizes. That the one that they have is 12 inch. It comes in 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, straight bones and balls, and all made of this really tough material. So that's another one for strong chewers. And then the third category was by West Paw Design. Now, they have one called the Jive Zogoflex Ball. I'm like, that is a wild name. They have it as a... It's a ball. It has like grooves on the side. So when you throw the ball,
the grooves look to me like the grooves in a Nerf football.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how there's like the shape for your fingers and the swirl on a Nerf.
Yes, I think that's probably a really good description. But it makes it easier for the dog to grab. But the thing I like the best about it is that it also makes it bounce in an erratic way. Mm-hmm. And that is really appealing for dogs. And people are like, why? Well, because it mimics the way prey moves. Because if you've ever watched somebody hunting, bunnies do not go, oh, dog, let's run in a straight line to my hole, right? No.
They don't.
Bunnies zigzag. They run very erratically. And that will throw, because if they're running erratically, then the predator doesn't know which way are you going to zig or are you going to zag, right? If you run straight, all I have to do is
really... Fairly predictable where you're going if you're going straight.
That's right. And I just have to put on the steam and maybe I'll overcome you. So when the ball moves in an erratic fashion, which is another reason, for example, why some dogs really like playing with Kongs, because Kongs, those beehive-shaped things, bounce erratically. Mm-hmm. It makes it much more interesting and intriguing for the predator part of our dogs.
Which kind of actually plays back to our previous episode where we talked about novelty and the element of surprise. You know, just how, you know, I know it's going to be good, but I don't know what it's going to be. So I know this ball is going to bounce and it's going to be fun, but I don't know where it's going to go. And that's fun, the excitement of that.
That's right. And I think it also just sort of triggers that instinctive, I don't want to say prey drive, because that's not a popular term anymore. You're not supposed to say prey drive. I'm not sure what you're supposed to say. So I'm just going to say it kind of triggers the
chase instinct.
The chase instinct. Those tendencies in your dog to want to chase something. And so what a great way to burn off some energy. And if I remember correctly, it comes in 3 sizes with one that fits in a standard ball thrower, which, by the way, for most of us is known as a chuck it. Mm-hmm. And it is also a 5 of 5 on the chew-o-meter. So supposedly that's going to be a good one. Now, they also have...
Was the Spot S-Bone also a 5 of 5?
You know, I don't think it had it on there, but I think it might be. I didn't see it. You know, I'm looking at my blog and it doesn't say that, but I think it was, because that's the one that the pit bulls really like. So I'm thinking that it has to be somewhere up there. It says play strong. So anyway, West Palm also makes another toy, which is kind of an S-shaped thing, more like a Z. I guess more of a Z-shaped thing. And it's called a Bummy Tug Toy. Now, my dogs have had that. So for dogs who like to play tug, whose world revolves around tug, you might want to consider the Bummy Tug Toy because it's really stretchy and tugs and gives there's some really good give to it. The problem is, because it stretches, it's not as durable, and it's only a 3 out of 5. So mm-hmm. What you might want to think about with that is not allow your heavy chewer to actually chew on it when you're done. Simply reserve it for your game of tug and put it up so it doesn't get chewed apart. So, but anyway, I have not heard back from anybody as to whether these things work, and I have yet to throw my Planet Dog fetch ball into the water. But
because the water just won't unfreeze?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably unfrozen now, but I just haven't been out there of late. So we haven't tried that yet. But I will say that when I was at the Midwestern Veterinary Conference, I did get a couple of Planet Dog balls there. And the dogs found those pretty fun. And they bounce well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's also a fun toy for the kids to use with the dogs because it's fun. It's easy for them to throw. It's soft and it bounces.
Yeah.
It makes it's fun for them because it's fun to squish. It's really fun just to hold it and squish it. I like the ball. So it's kind of like a stress reliever ball maybe.
Yeah.
For people. So, for those of you who do live in Central Ohio and in the Granville area, I mentioned the Village Pet Mart. There is another lovely store for dogs here in Granville. We're very lucky, called Bath and Biscuits. They also have a variety of toys and food, and you can take your dog there and bathe it so you don't have to get your own bathtub filthy. So that's always a plus.
So I just that is a plus.
It is a plus. I just wanted to do a shout out for that. We are very lucky to have two of those in this area. But that's the other thing I was going to say, too, is I don't know if these toys are available in most pet stores like PetSmart or Petco or whatever. So you might want to check out your boutique stores. They might have mm-hmm. more interesting and unusual toys. And the other thing that's beautiful about all three of these, if I remember correctly, I know for sure for Planet Dog and West Pond, I think also for Spot, these are guaranteed. If this toy does not stand up to your hard chewer, they will give you your money back or replace it. So, and there's actually a form right on the website that you fill out and send in for any one of these, for both of these companies, for West Paw and for Planet Dog. So they make it easy for you to give them feedback on the toys.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you all. If you try any of these toys and you have a really vigorous chewer, let us know how they work.
Or if you have other favorites, let us know what those are too, so we can share them with others.
Yes, absolutely. We've talked about Kongs a lot. I think you and I probably can't go a day without talking about Kongs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have various Kongs for various. They have puppy Kongs. They have old dog Kongs. They have big Kongs. They have little. They have Kongs that are tiny, tiny, tiny. They have really big ones. They also have their durable Kong, which is the black Kong, that is supposed to be for really hard chewers. And I think if you're an average hard chewer, it works pretty well. But I have had more than one client tell me that their dog was able to destroy the black Kong. So I'd like to
hear. Yes, I've known some dogs who can destroy it too, but there are lots of dogs who it's a great option for.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a matter of finding what's the right level of challenge for your dog. And that's kind of the trick, because mm-hmm. for many dogs, a black Kong is too hard.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, I just have to give up. It's so sad. There's this amazing Kong and I can't get anything out of it.
Yes.
But then for the dogs that are really good, strong chewers, a black Kong can be awesome or potentially not enough.
Right. So, I also want to mention, too, that the strong S bone, the 12-inch red bone, it's hollow so that treats can be added to it and it floats. So there you go.
There you go.
So you can do other things with it as well. So that's kind of what I have on durable toys. One thing I will say is you can be creative with toys. And I think we've mentioned in one of, in our one on, we were talking about intelligence toys, is you can do things like Mr. Parmesan, which was the mm-hmm. one where they had the Parmesan container and put some food in it and stuff. I think that one of the things, one of the keys to keeping toys from being destroyed too, is to think about how you play with them. So yeah. like with the tug toy, the bummy tug toy, is you play tug and then you put it up. So one of the things is make sure that if your dog's a hard chewer, if you're leaving things out for him to chew, make sure that they're really durable ones. There's no reason why he can't play with a different kind of ball as long as the ball activity is restricted to you playing fetch with it. Mm-hmm. So with Dexter, the little guy who likes to chew on tennis balls, well, just don't leave tennis balls around for Dexter to chew. Doesn't mean you can't play fetch with tennis balls. So
right.
part of it is
maybe. And not every toy has to be, or not every interaction has to be something that can be done again. For example, I have a dog who likes paper products like tissues and napkins and things. Mm-hmm. And my aunt had surgery and was just like confined to a chair. So I'm over visiting her one day with my dog. And the entertaining activity that I was doing was throwing Kleenexes at him. So they were wafting through the air and then he would destroy and eat a Kleenex. And she was like, "That's so clever." And I thought, not really a trick I teach any of my clients here if you're bored. But it wasn't going to hurt him to eat a few Kleenexes. And it was something that made her so happy. So if we were talking about a dog who likes to rip things up, putting a few treats in a cereal box and taping the box shut and letting the dog rip it up and then recycling the pieces and moving on, that's okay too. But when you're going to invest in a toy, we want to invest in a toy that's going to last.
Right.
But for the things that are just for right now, it's totally fine to have it cheap and destroyed at the end of it.
Right. And we do that all the time in my house, just cereal boxes or Amazon boxes, which is when we were talking about cats and dogs, which is why if I had a cat, I couldn't give it to the Amazon box because the dogs think that they're theirs to tear up. And surprise, there's a cat inside. But yeah, that's a great one, too. I do that a lot. Like today, I've been in and out all day. And so when I was leaving, I had gotten a little gift from an aunt. And it came in a box, and Bear was looking at me, and I went, "Oh, here, have a box." You know, and I know when I get home, there will be shreds of this little box all over the kitchen, but I don't care. You know, it keeps him happy. And yeah, Kleenexes are a favorite. I love the wifting Kleenex thing, you know.
Oh, yeah, it was big. It was really interesting to me because I heard from so many relatives that they were like, "Oh, I heard that you and Edzo were doing something so fun." And I was like, okay, there it was. That was our rock star moment of entertaining my poor aunt who was stuck in this chair. And it was our Kleenex game. We also have a Cheerio game that we can whip out if we really want to have a party trick. Look, I throw a Cheerio. He runs after. Wow. Now, your comment about boxes and cats that reminded me, just as a little flashback, to our episode that we did with Steve Dale about cats and dogs. Uh-huh. Since talking to Steve, I have been using an interactive cat feeder in a very large box in a bedroom because one of my concerns about the cat feeder was just that the cat feeder, the toy itself, was going to get destroyed by the dog. Right. So it's now in a spot where the cat cannot get it out of this particular area, and the dog can't get to it in this particular area because it's kind of in a box in a room. So it's really worked out very well for me, and it's such a simple strategy, which is pretty much what dog trainers do, is we show up in your house and we say something that's so simple and obvious. But if you haven't thought of it, you haven't thought of it.
That's
and
right.
I honestly hadn't thought of this giant box with a cat feeder in it that my cat whacks it all around every morning and he's thrilled to death to be hunting for his food. So a matter of, you know, making things work.
Yeah, people are saying to me, "Wow, that's such a simple solution." I'm like, "Yeah, that's why you pay me. You know, this extraordinary amount of money is to come in and give you simple solutions and redecorate your home." Because
to make it much less feng shui and attractive, but better for your pets.
That's right. In fact, I was at somebody's house the other day, and they have a big heavy chewer, so I was going to recommend some of these toys to them. But they have this narrow from their kitchen into their family room. It's just this narrow spot where there's a great big chair, really comfy chair, with an ottoman, and then there's a table. And I'm like, and the dogs, they get in a kerfuffle in that spot every single time because they can't comfortably pass by one another, and they haven't lived together long enough to figure out a way. And I'm like, can we move the sofa down? Let's move the chair over here. Let's just, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm here to redecorate. But this is going to continue to be a problem unless we do something to allow for easy passage of both of these dogs through this area. So yeah, we're great for things like that. So
yeah, well, hopefully the clients will be able to at least do a temporary rearrangement and make it better for their dogs, and then see if later they can put it back the more attractive way. Well, and sometimes it's just a slightly different environmental cue too. I was talking to a woman this weekend who is really working. This is not dog related, but comes up on being more patient with her children when she's trying to prepare dinner. It is typically a time when her husband is home and the kids are underfoot in the kitchen, and it's just making her crazy. And they're 3 and 6 years old. So I said, put a baby gate up and 2 cups of water on the other side of the gate. So when they come and they say they're so thirsty, you've already planned for that. There's water. And anything else, there's dad. You know, like all of a sudden, there you are. They cannot physically get to you. So you're like, oh, you forgot. Go talk to dad. And she was like, well, then they're going to need a drink. And I'm like, oh, we can handle that one too. Here's a drink on the outside of the gate. It's half an hour. I need to cook. Your dad is home. But it's just a habit. They come to her. Right. And they needed it. And the gate is a reminder as much for her as it is for the kids of, this is my time that I'm not doing this. So that happens with our animals a lot, too. If we can make a small change in the environment, we can often change the pattern that we've just fallen into and responded to before we even noticed.
Right. And I mean, it can be, you're right. And gates can be such an incredibly important way to manage things. I think about, like, in my household, when it's time to feed Robert, who's in a high chair. And did you know that high chairs are designed so that the tray is exactly at Bernese Mountain Dog nose height?
Well, they measure adult Bernese Mountain Dogs to figure out what height to put it at.
Yeah, they do. and so when Robert goes into the high chair, that's Bear's cue to get really excited, because that means something wonderful is going to happen to him. So my daughter was just battling, and I finally looked at her and said, put the X pen around the high chair.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, okay. So Robert goes in the high chair, the tray goes on, the X pen goes around. He sits in the high chair and looks at Bear. Bear sits on the outside of the X pen and looks at Robert and waits for the cue. We say, okay, and we open the X pen, he can go in and, yep, sort of vacuum. But it was such a simple solution that made everything so much easier and a lot less frustrating for Robert, and a lot less of a chance that Robert's little hands were going to go into a burner mouth as, right, he was reaching for whatever it was that was so tasty on Robert's tray. So
yeah,
gates can.
So it's always a matter of sort of just looking at what am I getting that I don't want?
Right.
How can I turn things around to get what I do want? Because we're always really good at identifying what it is we don't want. But then, right, the idea of what do I want? I do want Bear to be at a distance from Robert while Robert is eating. Oh, well, that's easy.
Right.
We can do that.
I remember at one point my daughter saying, Bear, goodness sakes, you live with a trainer. What are you doing? And I just, it was like a reminder to me that I could probably train Bear for a really rock solid stay outside, sure, the room, but it's not worth the effort when the X pen is an easy management tool that, I mean, at some point Robert's going to graduate from the high chair and that's going to be gone. And while I'd still have a rock solid stay in my dog, management gives me an immediate solution to the problem, so that if I wanted to do a training solution, I've got time to train it effectively.
Right.
So I think that management solutions are oftentimes the easiest and quickest way, especially since you're not talking about something that's, I mean, listen, well, I guess it's three times anyway, three times a day that Robert goes in his high chair. But it's not something that's going to be lasting.
Or we could feed Robert less.
That's true. We
could. No, no, no. Wait, now we're going to get Child Protective Services after us. I'm just joking.
Yes. Well, the other solution is we put Bear outside. You know, so, you know, give him something to do outside. But then, oh, he's so clever. He's learned how to open the back door. So he lets himself in.
Like, that's awesome. Isn't so it? Then you need the X-Pen by the back door. So you can come in and be in your little foyer, but you're not coming near Robert.
That's right. So, yes, we have lots of gates. And he opened the gate the other day, so that was exciting, the gate to the backyard. So I was thrilled. Can't tell you how much that made me happy to have him be able to open
I'm going
to
say
gate.
Something that really is unfair and we'll probably get hate mail about, but that doesn't really sound like normal burner behavior to me. Like most of the burners I've known have not been the strategic, let me figure the way to open the back door and open the gate kind of guys. So it's interesting that you got a little border collie brain inside your Bernese Mountain Dog there.
Well, you know, I think it was an accident. I think he happened to, on the gate, he happened to hit the thing and it opened and he was like, huh, who knew? I didn't know. Now I know. So I have
to, that's the problem. Now I know.
And speaking of which, this is another toy I was going to actually mention that's kind of an interesting one. It's got some drawbacks to it, but it's got some interesting things. It's called a Pup Pod. And it looks like it's an electronic Kong. And it's designed that it makes these, you can have it make all these different noises. Apparently, we do squeaky toy noises. So you turn it on, it makes a squeaky toy noise. And the dog is supposed to interact with it. And then it sends a signal to your phone that tells you to toss a treat. Okay, so teach your dog to interact with this toy. It has some issues with it. But one of the things that I found is that there's a little bit of a delay between the dog interacting with the Pup Pod and my phone responding. So that by the time I toss the treat, we've done something else. Mm-hmm. So I abandoned the phone part, and now I use a clicker. So whenever one of the dogs hits the toy, I click and toss a treat. So Zuzu, it makes a noise, and Zuzu just looks at me, and she looks at me, and she looks at me, and we never touch the Pup Pod. It's just like, there's this thing squeaking. And so you just, I'm like, Zuzu, don't you do it? No, I just look at Mom. But Bear has figured out, he hit it with one paw, and I clicked and tossed him a treat. And then hit it again. And so anyway, so he started hitting it. I realized he was hitting it with both paws. So at first I was just training him to hit it with his paw, whatever paw it hits. Now he's picked it up. I'm having him do it in left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And if he does two rights, he doesn't get a treat. So anyway, so that's been kind of fun. So Brad's now telling me, so you need to teach him left and right, Julie. So when he carts,
there you go.
And I'm like, that would be great. If I knew left from right myself.
yeah.
But I have this real issue with left and right. It's just like, I'll be pointing to the right and going, left, left, left.
Yeah.
I'm not the person to teach left and right. But
In our Rowdy Rover class, I have always told the clients, if my words and my body language don't match, believe my body.
Yes.
Because I will say things like, go to the yellow cone and someone will see that I'm pointing toward orange. Or I'll be like, and now we're all going to walk counterclockwise as I turn clockwise. Or even occasionally mix up a dog's name. Like I'll be looking right at Clyde and I'll say, okay, Gizmo, which is not that common. But when it happens, it'll get stuck with like two dogs. It'll be the same names in my head. And so, but if I'm looking at Clyde and I say Gizmo, you might want to think about whether it's really Gizmo's turn. So fortunately, people are really nice about it. They're like, did you mean Clyde? Did you mean orange? Did you mean clockwise? Yes, I did. Thank you for noticing that my brain does not function. But my body works, so hey.
Yes. I'm always going to say, go where I'm pointing. Pay no attention to the words coming out of that woman's mouth. Just go where I point. So
Maybe we should just do a podcast where we do it with just body language, because clearly our words are a problem for us.
That's right.
Why we've chosen to podcast with words when that's not our gift is
I have no idea.
To explore in another episode.
I think so. Although I don't think we can mime our way through a podcast. It'd be a little boring.
I don't think so.
So then people would have to see us. But it's so funny is that you and I, when we do this, people don't know this, but when we do this, you and I are always like sort of imitating dogs while we're doing this.
We do
the little, the head down, our ears go back, just all kinds of things.
Yeah, there's plenty of very odd body language going on during podcasts.
There is. And
well, we should probably wrap up this one that we thought was about indestructible toys, but turned out to be about all sorts of crazy things.
That's right. This will be a miscellaneous one. So
there you go.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Colleen. See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.